some in chapter number 4. The book of Esther, chapter 4. Beginning in verse number 10. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king in the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to Esther, to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. So we have this. We have a decree that has went out from the king that all the Jews are going to be destroyed. Now, I'd like to go back, if you could bear with us just a few minutes to maybe get a little foundation and how this has come about. So we realize this, that Vashti, the former queen, has been dethroned. Really don't have any information as to what happened to her. You know, she could have been killed. I don't know. But the king had all authority to do whatever he chose. But the time has come for a new queen to be selected. And Esther is a captive, an orphan. Nothing about her would lead you to believe that she would be chosen to be the queen. Absolutely nothing. But in the providence of God, and I believe that with all of my heart, in the providence of God, not without a means now, not without means, but through the means that are here, Esther is going to be chosen. So if you'd like to just, we'll just lightly touch in chapter 2. Listen to these words. We could read in verse number 7 about her being a captive, about her being an orphan, and all of these virgins are going to be brought, and they're going to be purified. They're going to give a time, you know, there's going to be a time of purification, a time to, if they can be made beautiful, be made beautiful. If there could be a time that they could smell better, that they could be softer, that their hair could be done different, all of the things outwardly that could be done are going to be done for the king to choose a wife. But listen to the words in verse number 9. So, Haggai is the keeper of the women. And verse number 9, Here's Esther. The maiden pleased him. She obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her all things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maidens unto the best place of the house of women. Now, can you see the providence of God? Can you see that this young lady, and you know, I can read in Proverbs chapter number 16, I read a scripture there, and listen, now bear in mind, one chapter away, destruction is coming. One chapter away, destruction is coming to all of the Jews. But God is lining this up. In Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse number 7, listen to these words. When a man's ways, you know, we could say a woman. When a man's ways, when a woman's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know something? There, God is favoring Esther. Go on over with me just a little farther in chapter 2, verse 15. So the ladies, and you know this is sort of graphic and it's sort of ugly in a sense, but these young virgins were brought before the king. And they were brought into his house. And if that young lady pleased him, well and good. If she didn't please him, she was put in a group of young ladies that were concubines. She never went back. She never went back to his house unless he called for her. She could never be married. She was the king's property. That's pretty ugly, isn't it? But that's the way that it was. That's the way that it was. But the time came for Esther to go in before King Ahasuerus. And listen to what the Bible says, verse number 16. Verse 15. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in to the king, she required nothing, but that Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. She was a beautiful young lady. The Bible tells us that as well. She was beautiful both inwardly and outwardly. But you know, when it come time to go before the king, she didn't ask for anything. You know, she could have asked for jewelry. She could have asked for makeup. She could have asked for a hairdo. She could have asked for all of those things. But all of those things were outward. And I'd say this. Who do you think knows what the king wants? I believe Haggai knows exactly what will suit the king. And you know what she's going to do? She's going to trust what he gives her. She's going to trust what he says to go in with. And this is what the Bible says. The Bible said that she acquired or desired nothing. She didn't seek. She didn't desire. She didn't request. She didn't do anything but what he said. And she went in. And now you think about this. Here is a young lady that is going to be destroyed. That is going to be destroyed. But by the hand of God, this is a young lady that's not only going to be destroyed, a young lady that is going to be chosen by the king, that is going to become the queen to the king, that is not only going to be spared, but elevated from an orphan, from a captive, from a nobody, to the queen of all of the earth in that day. My, how God can work in our day. If he can work in this day, don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, he can work in 2023.
God is just as able to work in this day that you and I live in as in the day that Esther was living in. So, here's a young lady. Listen to the word, verse 17. And the king loved Esther above all women, and she obtained grace and favor. Oh, that sounds like my Lord. That sounds like the Lord, that you and I could find grace and the favor of the King of all heaven and earth. Listen to the words. Found, obtained grace and favor. Let me tell you this, that it wasn't because of her. It was because God, you know, I believe this. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or you don't believe it, but I just believe this the way God works. I believe there was women that was more shapely than Esther. I believe there was women that was more beautiful of countenance than Esther. But oh, I tell you, there was something in her that grasped the king's heart. There was something that was done in the king's heart that drew him to her. It was a working of God in him that brought him to choose her. She obtained grace. She didn't have grace. She obtained grace. She didn't have favor. She obtained favor of the king. Listen to the words. And listen, you can twist that or turn that or rest that if you choose. But I tell you, thank God for the grace that I found. God gave grace and God gave favor to me. And if you're saved, God gave grace. Grace and favor in His sight more than all the virgins, so that He set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So the word royal means this, rule or dominion, and the crown. The crown is the word diadem. I'd like for you to think about this, that He put something on her that marked her in the whole kingdom. She was marked out to be the king's wife. He bestowed upon her. He set upon her head. He gave unto her. Not only was she a ruler, and you might say, well, she's not a ruler. Oh, yeah, she is a ruler too. You can read just a little bit. He made a feast unto Esther. And I tell you, she is a ruler. I don't want to take that too far, but I would say this. They set the royal, the rule, the dominion, crown, the diadem on her head and made her queen. Again, reign, to induct, to set up. The king did this. He chose her. Out of all that was there, He chose her. Now, chapter number 3, we're going to find that Haman hates Mordecai. And the reason he hates Mordecai is Mordecai doesn't bow down to him. So he's come up with a plan to destroy all the people. And you know why Mordecai doesn't bow down? Because he's a Jew. He's only going to worship the one and only God. He's not going to bow down to Haman. He's not going to bow down. I believe that it's very much like it was for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They weren't going to worship another king. They weren't going to bow down to Haman. Mordecai wasn't going to do that. So Haman hates him. And he's not going to just destroy Mordecai. He's going to destroy the whole realm of the people that are associated with him. Now, I tell you, this wicked Haman is no different than the destroyer today that would love to destroy the church, would love to destroy God's people, that would love to destroy anybody that will not bow down to the world. That's the world we're living in today. We're living in a world that hates the church because you refuse to bow down to it. God help us today to stand for the King, to live for the King, to bring our obedience and our allegiance unto the King of glory and not bow down to this world. But listen, verse number 7. In the first month, that is the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman. What are they doing? They're casting a lot. They're casting, however you want to say it, drawing straws, rolling dice, casting the lot. They're picking a day that they're going to destroy all of the Jews. Now, I want you to think on that a moment. There's a day coming that you and I are going to lose our life. We're going to die. As is as appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. I want to look today, if the Lord would help us, I want to look today at what we understand and what is written. And I want us to think about that. And I want to think about what we see. What we understand and what we see today. What effect is it having on us? So by the lot, I have no idea when I'm going to die. God knows. I have no idea. But I do know this, that I am going to die. And we know this by the Word of God. These people, there was a day set aside in the 12th month, the 13th day, all of the Jews were going to be destroyed. And when that decree... Now listen. Listen to these words. And the letters were sent by post, verse 13, unto all the king's provinces to destroy, comma, to kill, comma, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. And a copy of this writing... A copy of this writing for a commandment to be given in every province. 127 provinces, this writing went out. Now, can you see what a situation that the Jews are in? So Mordecai says to Esther, Esther, I want you to go in and plead for your people. I want you to go in and plead for them. Plead with them because death is coming. Death is coming. Killing, perishing, women, boys, children, old, young, they're all going to perish. So now let's think about us. If you're saved, and listen, that's all I'm talking to today. I'm talking to you that are saved. I want us to think about it today. Who we are. We are the King's bride. We are the Queen. We have been selected out of all of this world. God has set the royal diadem on our head. God has marked us out through His wonderful Word, by His Spirit and by His power. He has selected and chosen us to be a part of the kingdom of God. I'll say to you today, I'm not an orphan. I'm not a stranger. I'm not a captive. Thank God I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You know what the king is going to say to Esther? Esther, what is your request? What do you make petition for? Even unto half of the kingdom, I'll grant it unto you. Oh, God, help us today. Let's look in chapter number 4 and try to concentrate here. Now listen, listen, Mordecai. This is what Esther's going to say. there's a decree went out. And this really happened with the first king, the king long before Ahasuerus, probably in about 728 to 675, there was a ruler named Dioscus. And that man set this up. He set up that no one could come into the king unless they come through the ministers. They had to come through the guard. They had to come through there before they could come before the king. That was a law. And there was one law. If you come in before the king uninvited, you were killed. Unless the king held out the golden scepter, you were going to die. You can count on it. It was the law. Esther knew that law. Mordecai knew that law. All of the realm of Ahasuerus knew that law. 127 provinces knew that law. That was established and set in order by Dioscus, the first king, a friend of the Medes and the Persians. But Esther said, Mordecai, go tell him the people of the king's provinces do know. Everybody knows this. Everybody knows this. That neither do know that whether man or woman shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law. And that is to put him to death, except to some such who the king hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. So this is the rod. This is the power. This is the rod of the empire. And listen. And this, that he may live, but I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Now, I just want you to think about the situation. You know what the devil would like for us to do? Here's Esther. 30 days, the king's not called to see her. Doubt. Fear. Worry. I just don't know whether I can go in there or not. I've not been called for. His love may have waned. He may have found somebody else. He may not love me like he once loved me. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know if I've done something wrong or if his love has just grown cold unto me. I want to remind you of this, ladies and gentlemen. That's in your mind. That's in your mind, the worry and the fear and the dread and the doubt. That's in the mind of man. But know this, that the king's mind has not changed. That the king chose Esther above all the other virgins. That the king loved her. And let me tell you this, she's still got a royal diadem on her head. She's still the king's wife. She's still the one in authority. She's still the one that he loves. And I'll tell you this, you've got a God that loves you. And I'll say this, he loved us with an everlasting love. And that will not wane. He is a God who cannot change. The devil wants you to doubt whether we can come before God or not. The devil wants us to doubt whether we can come into the throne room of God. The devil wants us to doubt whether we can come into the inner house, whether we can come there, we can come to church. I tell you this, you know what? We need to do more than come to church. We need to come into the inner house. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but there's been a decree went out. There's a decree gone out. I've already read it to you or quoted it to you out of Hebrews. Listen to this scripture. 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. Is that true? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Well, there's a decree went out. Listen to Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 19. Genesis chapter 3, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. Ecclesiastes also, he tells us there, what's going to happen to man in Ecclesiastes? He's going back to the dust of the ground is exactly what's going to happen to him. Friend, the same thing that he said in Genesis and he said in Hebrews, He says the same thing in the book of Ecclesiastes. Bear with me just a minute. I'm sorry, give me just a second. I'd like to find it and read it to you. Ecclesiastes 3 and 20. These words. All go into one place. All are of the dust, and to all turn to dust again. Now, you know what's going to happen to the people that are lost and undone? That body is going back to the dust, but the soul is going to lift its eyes in hell. Isn't that true? These people, if we could see it in Esther's day, there is judgment coming. There is destruction coming. And you know, Mordecai says, Esther, you need to go in before the king and beseech and seek after his favor and seek after his face, because we're going to die. Listen to the word now. And Esther said, well, I've not been called these 30 days. I don't want you to forget who you are. I don't want you to forget, ladies and gentlemen, you that are saved today, don't forget who you are. Don't forget that God chose you out of the teeming billions that are on the face of the earth, that God chose to put His favor and His grace upon you, and that you and I today are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that we've been bought, a friend, out of this world, a friend that the world as a whole is going to die and go to hell, but thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, rose from the dead, sent us the gospel, brought the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and brought us in by the family of God. Don't forget who you are. Amen. I realize this. We all go through valleys. We all go through dry places. We're not always on the mountaintop. We're not always way up there spiritually. Well, thank God for this. When I don't feel it, I know this. Thank God when I don't feel loved, I know by the Word of God, I am the cause of what He has done. Not because of what I've done. Not because of who I am. Not because of what a good thing I've done. Thank God for the favor and the mercy and the unchangeableness of God's love. Bear that in mind. When the devil says you can't go in, when the devil says you're not worthy, when the devil says you're going to get killed, when the devil says he won't hold us scepter of mercy out for you, when he says that, remember who you are. You think she wasn't doubting? She was wondering, does he still love me? Praise God, he still loves you. Praise God, no matter how you feel on the outside or how you feel on the inside. Go back to the Word of God. Go back, go past your feelings, go past how you think, go past your carnal mind, go past that and believe the Word of God. I've not been called. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Mordecai commanded Esther this answer. My, what a God we've got. Mordecai said and answered unto Esther, think not thyself that thou shalt escape the king in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and their deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. I just want to stop there for a moment. Does God's kingdom work depend on me? I tell you what we are. We're privileged. My God, how privileged. that we are to be a part of God's kingdom work. It don't depend on me. You may think it all revolves around you. I'll tell you, here's the queen. Here is the queen and Mordecai. I believe these are true words. Oh, I believe these words are true. Esther, know this. You're not going to escape. And the Jews' enlargement and their continuation is going to come. It's going to come. But listen, who knows? Esther, who knows? But at thou and thy father's house, you know what's going to happen? She's going to be destroyed too. She's going to be destroyed as well as the other Jews. And who knowest whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Why are you here? David said to his brothers, you remember that? Is there not a cause? His brothers railed on him. Said, you come down to see the battle. You just come down to see what was going on. David said, is there not a cause? I remind you of this, that David went down there to check on the welfare of his brothers. By the command of his father. Why are we here today? Why are we in the kingdom for such a day as this? Do you know that God has put you in the kingdom? Maybe we don't know exactly what our place is. Maybe we don't know exactly what God would have us to do. Maybe we've not seen the full revelation of it. But would you say this, Esther? Now why? Why would Esther be in this place? Why would Esther be a queen? Why would Esther be chosen by the king of 127 provinces and this little captive orphan is chosen? You think that's happenstance? Oh no, this is God's plan. If thou holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and their deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. I'm not going to thwart God's plan. I'm not going to change God's plan. But I tell you what I could be. I could be privileged to be a part and to be in the workings and be of the means that God accomplishes His plan. I could fall into the plan of God. I'm not changing the plan of God. You know, when I pray, ladies and gentlemen, you know what I can do? If through and by the Holy Spirit I really pray, am I praying my will or am I praying to bring me to the will of the Holy Spirit who knows the mind of God, who knows the will of God, who knows the plan of God, who knows what God is going to do? I tell you what I'm doing. I'm being brought into the plan and the purpose of God. Will God get His work accomplished with or without me? You better believe He will get it accomplished with or without you. But if you are saved this morning, you have an opportunity to be in the workings and in the blessings and in the means of God accomplishing His work. If thou holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come? How did she get there? I tell you, she got there by the hand of God. She got there by the providence of God. She got there by the workings of God. Now, you can throw that out with a dishwater if you like, but I'll tell you the reason she is here is because of the hand of God. Now, the reason she is there is because of the hand of God. Now, the reason that you're here today is by the workings of God Almighty. By the wonderful grace and the mercy and the long-suffering of God, you are saved today if you're genuinely saved. And we are what we are by the grace of God. Now listen, Esther. Who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Whether you've come to the kingdom to carry out God's will. Whether you're going to be a participant of God's purpose. Whether God is going to use you in His kingdom's work. You know who changed the king's command? Nebuchadnezzar. You know who changed the king's command in Nebuchadnezzar's day? There was a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who did not bow down. Who said, "We're not careful to answer thee, O king. Our God will deliver us. He can deliver us from the fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from your hand, king. And know this today, we're not going to bow down." They were thrown into the fiery furnace, and I'll tell you, when they come out, you know what was changed? The king's commandment was changed. That's right. They didn't change. God didn't change. God's plan didn't change. God's plan was to change the king's commandment, and that was done through the means of those three men that stood up and went in before the king and declared that they would not bow down to this world. I tell you, the Hamans of this world want you to bow down. And this is the truth. In their mind, you have no choice. You're going to bow or we're going to destroy you. That's the world we're living in. You're going to bow or we're going to destroy you. Well, I'll tell you right here as a lady that came to the throne and a type of you and I, a type of the church, a type of the people of God. And friend, here is a young lady that come to the throne for such a time as this. And I'll tell you that Mordecai said, "Esther, you don't know. Do you know whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I'll say this, by the providence of God, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, we have. For this day. For this time. For this opportunity. What a privilege. What a privilege that we have as the Queen to go in, to make intercession, to plead for our families, for our people. Now listen. First months when they cast the purr. First months when they cast the lot. It's at least 11 months out. You know what man thinks? Because execution, because judgment, because God doesn't bring down His hand immediately. You know what we think? We think it ain't going to happen. Just like in Peter's day. Where is the coming? Where is His coming? I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. We've come to the kingdom for such a day as this. God help us to take advantage of our position. God help us to take advantage of the providence of God. God help us to take advantage of the privilege that we have and to call on God. Who knows? Galatians 6 and 10. We just read it a few weeks ago. As we have therefore opportunity. I ask you today, seriously, how much opportunity have you taken to intercede with God Almighty for your family, for your people, for the people that are lost and on the road to hell? How much of the opportunity given have we really made? How much of that opportunity have we made use of? How much of that has been done? And you know what? You can just roll that off and let that run off of you like water off a duck's back. But I say to you today, you're missing out on the opportunity that God has given you to be a part of the providence and the kingdom and the work of God. There's a need, ladies and gentlemen. As we have therefore opportunity. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10. As we have opportunity, what should we do? As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially of them who are of the household of faith. So it'd be good if we was good unto all men, but especially unto the church, especially unto the people of God. I'll tell you, God help us today. In 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 10, another scripture, if you bear with us another minute or two. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I have no idea, and you have no idea who the elect are. But I'll tell you this, God knows that they're elect before they're ever saved. And if you don't believe that, you better read your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. Therefore, who's enduring? Paul's enduring. I endure all things for elect's sake, that they may obtain, that they may come to the knowledge, that they may receive salvation, that they may be saved, that they may be brought into the kingdom of God. You don't know who's going to be saved, and I don't know who's going to be saved, but Esther is going to go in and pray and plead and ask the king and bring her petition that her people would be saved. I endure all things for the elect's sake. Well, they're elect in Christ. You better read your Bible again. They're elect before they ever come to salvation. They're elect before they ever come to salvation. 2 Timothy 2 verse 10. You know, it's all about man today. I tell you, it's not about man. Here's little Esther, the queen. A nobody chosen by the king of the known world in that day. Let me ask you, who's the king of the known world today? Who is he? Who rules over 127 plus provinces? You and I are a part of the family of God. This is what she says. Esther said, "Return unto Mordecai and go gather all the Jews. Tell him this. You go and you all that are present and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days or nights. Also, and my maidens will fast." I'd like for you to think on this line that the fasting, ladies and gentlemen, is not brought about by a purpose of mind. That the fasting is brought about by an effect on the heart. The reason they're not eating 3 days and three... Why do you reckon Paul didn't eat for 3 days and three nights after he was struck down on the Damascus Road? You reckon he wasn't hungry? You reckon he wasn't thirsty? Well, I'll say this, there was something more pressing than eating and drinking. There was something on his heart. There was something on Esther's heart. There's something ought to be on our heart today that would take away our sleep, take away our eat, take away our drink, and it ought to be instigated and propagated a friend through and by what's going on in the heart. It may look on the surface like this is planned by the mind. I tell you, there's something going on in her. She's going to go stand before the king. She's not been called for 30 days. If he's mad at her, and in a fit of anger, he doesn't hold out the golden scepter, you know what's going to happen? The guard is going to kill her in the court. My God, look at us today. Look at our opportunity. Look at what an opportunity that we have. You know, Esther is going to fast, and this is what the Bible said. The Bible said, in chapter number 5, the third day. So she fasted. I believe she prayed. I believe she didn't eat. She didn't drink. You know, she might have looked a little hollow-eyed. She might have looked a little ghostly. She might have looked a little gray. But I feel what God could do. You might look at Daniel chapter 1 and you think because they eat vegetables for 10 days, it's going to make a big difference. You're going to take me off of what I normally eat. You're going to put me on vegetables for 10 days. And you're going to tell a big difference in me? No. No. God brought about the change in the countenance. The 10 days of separation was that man could see the separation for God and to God. The change in the countenance and them looking fairer and fatter, that was God's work. You know what my work is? My work is to fast, to pray, and then it is my work to go in. Listen to the word just a little more. Now it come to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel as added. What did she put on? I'll say this. As an orphan, as a captive, everything she had to wear, everything she had to eat, every beautiful thing that she had was given by the king. It's the truth. You got any beauty today? It's because the king bestowed it upon you. You got any favor today? It's because the king gave it to you. But listen now. Remember that he set the royal crown on her head. You think she went in there without the royal diadem on her head? Oh, no, ma'am, and no, sir. I'll tell you when she went in. Don't you imagine this, friend, whether there was lights skylights or windows in the ceiling or windows in the wall or whether they had lamps and had candles. I'll tell you this. I believe, friend, when she stepped into the courtroom, I believe the light, a friend that shined on that royal diadem. And the king, his attention was drawn to her. Thank God he gave us something. A friend that he loves. It came from him. What he put on the church is a part of God. What he put on the church. And in the church, ladies and gentlemen, you talk about a royal diadem. My God, what he put in you, he gave you a part of himself. The king put the royal diadem on her. She put that on. Now remember, that royal diadem was her reign, her authority, a diadem, a mark of identification. If I'm going to pray, I need to make sure I've got that on. I need to make sure, now listen, he's the one that gave it. Don't you know that he recognizes the crown royal that he put on her head? When he sees it again, don't you know that he recognizes that? That came from me. I believe he could say this. That's mine. Not only the crown, what was under it? What was under the crown belonged to him too. That's mine. Thank God. There's a decree going out, folks. Death is coming. And we could go with the words of the song, hell is moving. Death is coming and hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? Can we bear to let them go? I tell you, our opportunities have been given. We have been made sons and daughters of God. The royal diadem has been set on our head. Friend, and you say, well, I've not been called. Well, I'll say this, don't let that deter you from knowing that you're a child of God, if you really are. If you've been saved, if you've been born again, I'll tell you this, through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access unto the Father. Bear with us another minute or two. And it came to pass. You know where she went? She went into the inner part. She didn't just go to the court. She went in the court. And when the king, verse 2, saw, she's got a name. Have you got a name? Has he given you a name? He's given us a name, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not one in the crowd. I've been given a name. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, there's her name, there's her position. Who is she? The queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, listen to these words, please. What will thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? What is your petition? What is your entreaty? What do you ask for? What would you like? And it shall be given. And what is thee? And it shall be given unto thee to half of the kingdom. She is an heir. She's an heir. You and I are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know what he said to Solomon? He said to Solomon one night, Solomon, what would you that I do for you? Oh, Lord, I've got all of these people and I've got all of these riches and I've got all of these things. Lord, I'm not asking for long life. I'm not asking for greater riches. I'm not asking for a bigger kingdom. God, give me wisdom. Oh, God, to be able to come in and to go out before this thy so great a people. I'll tell you today, God, help us today that we ask for the right thing. Oh, Esther's not going to ask right here, but I tell you what she's going to do. She's going to get an audience and she's going to bring her request to the king. Because of who she is and how it affects her heart. You know, today, be honest. We go to the funeral homes and we know that man died without God. That woman died without God. And when we leave there, we go back home, and there's our sons and our daughters and our wives and our husbands and our children and our grandchildren that do not know God. And we are unaffected. It does not bring us to a place that we would intercede. It does not bring us to a place that we can't eat or we can't sleep. It doesn't bring us to a place that takes away our appetite. I'm not saying that to be mean, but I'm saying that to be reality in the world that we're living in today. I ask you this. You answer the question in your own mind and your own heart. How long has it been since you went in before the king in petition of your family? I'm not talking about into the court. I'm talking about into the king, and he held out the golden scepter to you and allowed you to touch the top of it. How long has it been since that happened? Has it ever happened? So there's the written decree. Go with me to Lamentations chapter number 3. Just another minute or two, if you could bear with us. I don't mean to be too long, but I don't want to cover everything that I feel like God's laid on our heart. Lamentations chapter 3, when Jeremiah is looking and he's seeing the sorrow, the trouble that is going on in his country, in Jerusalem. Listen to chapter 3, verse 47. Verse 46. All of our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Folks, are we not living in that world today that everybody, from the White House to the church house, honest to God, it's at the church houses too, are against us? They have opened their mouth against us. All of our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare has come upon us, desolation and destruction. Mine eye run down. My eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Have you considered your grandchildren? Have you considered your sister? Have you considered your brother? Have you considered your wife? Have you considered your husband? Have you considered your son? Have you considered, ladies and gentlemen, our families that are around about us? Has our eye run down any time lately? Has our eye, have we wept? Have we wept before God? Have we realized the condition that they're in? Has God opened our eye to the condition that is around us? Answer that question. Answer it for yourself. Listen to the word. Lamentation 3, verse 49. My eye trickleth down and ceaseth not with any intermission. Is this on his heart? Can you see the results of this that's on his heart? You know, I don't reckon I've ever seen Old Yeller, but I understand that's a movie. But I do remember hearing, listening to Where the Red Fern Grows. You know, I tell you what, we could weep over that, couldn't we? We could weep over what we see on the TV. We could weep, but I wonder, is there any weeping today over the condition of our people, over the condition of our families? Is there any weeping? Jeremiah said, my eye trickleth down without intermission. There is no stopping it. I believe that Esther for 3 days and three nights, there was no stopping her pleading unto God. I realize this. On the day that she went in before the king, she had to compose herself, didn't she? Surely she did. But I'll say this. Would you think that previous to that, our friend, that she was before God with a broken heart and a broken and a contrite spirit? So we've got the written in Esther. What do we have here? Verse 51. My eye trickleth down, it ceaseth not. My eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Verse 50, till the Lord look down and behold from... Do you mean that God will hear? Do you mean that there could be a cessation? That there could be a stopping of weeping? Could it be that we could stop weeping and there could be joy? I know this is rocky. Till the Lord, now I'm reading out of the Bible. You read with me, verse 50. Till the Lord look down and behold from heaven, verse 51. My eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. So in Esther, we got the written word of what's going to happen. And Lamentation, you know what we have? We can see it. We can see it with our eyes. We can see they're headed to hell. We can see they're away from God. We can see that destruction has come upon the city. Destruction has come upon Jerusalem. I ask us today, what are we doing about what has been written and what we see today? When you look around and you see the condition of mankind today, when you look around and see your family headed to hell, when you look around today, do we close our eyes? How do we shut off our hearts? How do we try? I do what people do. What people do a whole lot of time when the Holy Ghost comes by, this is what we do. We get us a book out. We begin to look at this. We'll grab us a young'un. We'll do anything if we can get our mind off of what God is saying to our heart. Man doesn't want to think on the condition of his people. Man, you know who's behind that? The devil's behind that. My eye trickleth down without intermission. Mine eye affecteth my heart. My soul is aching. My soul is burdened. My soul is weeping. How do you know the soul was weeping? I'll tell you, friend, the outward man was being brought under subjection to what was going on the inside. What effect has what you see daily brought to your heart and soul concerning your families and your people?